Mark DeGubin. Hello, my friend, and welcome to a few moments of fellowship together around the word of the Lord. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and we're delighted to have you joining us for a few moments of Bible study together. We invite you to get your New Testament or your Bible and turn with us to the book of Matthew, chapter 24, where we're continuing our study today. Also, you can go to the book of 1 Thessalonians. We'll be going there in just a moment, or rather 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you'll go to the last book of the Bible, in front of it are some short books. Then you come to the book of Hebrews, and in front of the book of Hebrews are some more short books. One of them is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we'll be going there in just a moment. But first of all, we're beginning again in Matthew 24 as we're talking about the Passion Week of the Lord Jesus Christ, the last week of Christ upon earth before he was crucified, buried, and arose from the grave in his glorified body. Yes, he was upon the earth in his glorified body for some 40 days after his resurrection. But we're discussing now that immediate few days just before his crucifixion. And that was when he had this discussion with his disciples on the Mount of Olives. And he was answering some of their questions. And in verse 15 of Matthew 24, he said, When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. And he's talking about that man who will rise upon the scene, as we've already seen in the book of Revelation, the man referred to as the beast because of his actions and behavior, who will organize a one-world government, being led into power through 10 nations that will support him and back him and help push him into the position of power. And the first 3.5 years after he makes a covenant with the nation of Israel, he will guarantee them peace for a 7-year period of time, and then he will go about that first 3.5 years uniting the world under his government and under his control. And we read here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 these words that we've started, and let's continue them. Let's begin again with verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that refers to his second coming to earth, and by our gathering together unto him. That has to do with the rapture. When the trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall be resurrected, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through verse 18, where we're told about this coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and his gathering, first of all, bringing out of the graves those who have died, that is, gone to sleep in Christ, is the terminology. Verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians 5, For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. That is, their body is asleep in the grave. Remember John 11, Jesus said to his disciples, Lazarus sleeps, and I go that I may awake him. And they said, Well, Lord, if he's sleeping, he's doing well. We wish we could get some rest, because people were constantly coming to them for Jesus to heal them and to meet their needs. And Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I go that I may raise him from the dead. And that's what Jesus did. And so death for the believer is not a terrible and awful thing. The body goes to sleep, but the believer goes into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we've already seen in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so we see that this is the rapture. The trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, verse 16, and then we, Paul speaking of those who are alive, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 elaborates on that, how that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, our bodies will be changed, those that are in the grave will be changed, given glorified bodies. We which are alive and remain will be given glorified bodies, be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so that's verse 1 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then verse 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the day of Christ, shall not come except two things occur. There come a falling away first, a falling away from the truth, a turning away from the truth to follow after the things of this world and to follow after Satan and his evil deception, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. He will be revealed. This is the man who will set up the one world government. As we read over in Revelation chapter 13, he'll set up a one world government, and no man will be able to buy or sell unless he has the mark of the beast, the name of the beast, or the number of the beast in his right hand or in his forehead. And so the son of perdition, who opposeth and, verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now that's the abomination of desolation that Jesus was speaking about in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15. You see, in the first 3.5 years of this terrible tribulation period, during which this man will be uniting the world into a one-world government, the children of Israel will have been guaranteed protection for 7 years and peace. And during that first 3.5 years, they will be busy building and restoring the temple and restoring temple worship and restoring sacrifices. And in the midst of that tribulation period, that's 3.5 years after the beginning of that 7-year peace treaty, this man will move into Jerusalem. He will go into the temple, and this is what it's saying right here, that the man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God setteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And that's what he will be doing. He will be he will have a false prophet who will tell people to worship the beast and will turn to worship the beast, and they will this false prophet will tell the world that the beast is God, and will therefore move into Jerusalem, because the Jewish people will not accept him as God. And so he will force them to accept him as God. He will move into the temple and go into the Holy of Holies. The first part of the temple, you recall, of the tabernacle and the temple that Solomon built, had two portions to it. The first part of it was called the holy place. The second part was called the Holy of Holies. The first part of the temple had a candlestick, golden candlestick. It had the altar of incense. It had the table of showbread. Each one of them are beautiful types and pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there was a veil that separated the holy place from the most holy, or the Holy of Holies. And behind that veil is where the Ark of the Covenant was. And that was the Ark of Covenant between Israel and God, that they were His chosen people, and that God would dwell among them. But over in the book of Ezekiel and Jeremiah, we read about the glory of God departing, because Israel turned from God and turned from worshiping Him to worshiping false gods and to worshiping idols. And thus we see that God's glory departed from the temple. And it was made a place of idolatry because one of their kings named Manasseh did a vile and terrible thing in bringing idols into the temple itself and bowing before and worshiping false gods rather than the true and the living God. And the glory of the Lord departed until Jesus came back and went into the temple, for He is the manifestation of God in human form. He is Almighty God who came back into the temple. And so we see that this man is going to claim that he is God, and he's going to go into the temple, into the holy place, and into the most holy place behind the veil, and he will sit there in the Holy of Holies and exalt himself as God, showing himself that he is God. And so Paul writes, "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." Yes, beloved, sin is already abounding in the world we're living in today. Only he who now hindereth will hinder until he be taken out of the way. And he that is hindering is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, in which the Holy Spirit indwells and works. And once the church is removed and the church is taken away, then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Yes, we read about that destruction that will take place in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, when King Jesus will come back from heaven, and we will come back with him at the end of that 7-year tribulation period, and all of the hosts of the wicked will be gathered in the Valley of Armageddon outside of Jerusalem, and King Jesus will come and destroy the armies of the wicked and set up his kingdom to rule and reign over the entire earth. And the first thing he will do will be to judge the nations, to separate the wicked and those who are vile and ungodly from those who have sought to protect Israel and who have supported Israel. And he will set up his kingdom, which will be for 1,000 years. Till next time, goodbye.